Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. But today we're going to be talking about not just mind power, but also body power. And we all have a level of personal responsibility when it comes to our own wellness. There is no magic pill that you can take, that you add water, you drink it down, and you're going to have perfect health. It takes energy. It takes a willingness to invest in yourself. But one of the biggest investments you can make is being open to learning about research, about understanding more about this magnificent vehicle, our classy chassis, if you will, the human body, how it works, and what is being discovered about ensuring that we have a healthy, strong body, and also that we're going to be able to live a productive life because of that. All of us can relate to various people we know that are going through some very difficult physical situations, and nutrition has a big part to play in the wellness of who we want to be. So my guest today, Dr. Alan Summersall, he's in Canada, and we are going to be talking about his fascinating book. It's titled The Amazing Power of Stem Cell Nutrition, but it's more than that. We're also going to be talking about research and some phenomenal information that has been discovered about what often is perceived as a very negative situation, the stem cell. What is it? Well, we're going to talk to Dr. Summersall, and we're going to find out. Hello, doctor. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
This book, when I was going through it, I was very much impacted by the very first grouping of words that you have in your preface. It's that you said the stem cell revolution is here. Now, we've heard so much controversy about stem cell research, and of course it was all about the use of embryos. But things have gone so far past that. That's old news. Tell us, what is a stem cell and why is it so significant for the human body and for wellness?
Well, Donna, that's a very interesting question, because the average person today has been led to think of stem cells in terms of embryonic stem cells. And in a sense, that's where it began, because scientists first discovered a number of years ago that the very earliest embryos, in other words, after a sperm and an egg fertilize and form essentially a very, very, very early stage embryo, in the very first few multiplications, those cells have remarkable potential. The potential of those cells, of course, is that they can change, they can differentiate to become cells of any type in the human body. And when you think about it, we all start from those two first initial cells, the sperm and the egg, and yet we produce all these varieties of tissues. We have muscle and bone and skin and hair and so on, and blood. So those early cells have that potential. And what was discovered was that they found a method of essentially isolating those very early cells and then growing them under specific laboratory conditions to cause them to multiply, and then further they found out that they could use them to differentiate, to literally derive different types of tissue cells from those very early, what are called now called embryonic stem cells. That's where it began, and that's we go back a couple decades. Today, we understand it's much more than that. In fact, when I was in medical school, 30 years ago, now, that's 30 years ago now, wow, how fast time goes. 30 years ago, when I was learning about stem cells, first of all, we weren't even using the term. What we did understand was that there certainly the blood has different types of cells, and the different type of blood cells we understood came from common sources. In other words, there were some cells in the blood that literally give rise to all the various blood cell types. Now, from that beginning, then we went to the embryonic stem cells, and of course we got into the area of blood transfusion, and then certainly in the area of chemotherapy, because in chemotherapy we discovered that you can literally separate those particular cells in the blood that we thought we needed to keep before we destroy them with chemotherapy. So a patient who's going to go through chemotherapy could actually have those cells isolated, and then they could have the chemotherapy and then be given back their cells, which could then differentiate to become new blood. And that was a very important development. However, let's go to where we are today. Today, the focus is no longer on embryonic stem cells. The focus is not on chemotherapy so much. The focus is on what is called adult stem cells. And what has happened is the Nobel Prize last year was given to two researchers who together have essentially combined some research data and research understanding so that we now understand that every cell of the body contains all its basic information, all the DNA, and therefore every cell, in a sense, is like every other cell. But each particular cell becomes a particular cell when it chooses to express certain genes which are triggered on and off. So as a result, we now understand that you could take almost any cell in the body, and by manipulation, and this is what the guy got the Nobel Prize for, Professor Yamanaha, by manipulation of any cell, you could make it go backwards to be like a stem cell.
Incredible.
And once you do that, you could then use that cell. And by doing other manipulations, you could cause that cell to become any other type of cell in the human body. Net result is the focus today is on adult stem cells. And we don't mean adult stem cells in the sense that they're in adults, because you can have them at a very early age. But we mean adult in contrast to premature, immature, or embryonic stem cells. That's already where the word is used. The net result, those stem cells have this amazing capacity to differentiate and become any cell type. And they can literally undergo a number of multiplications. So that from one stem cell, you can go to 2, to 4, to 6, to 8, to 16, and do that about 30 times, and you're up in the millions. So in other words, one stem cell can give rise to millions of cells of different tissue types, so depending on how it's triggered to produce a particular tissue type. So these cells become vitally important, because today we imagine that there's the prospect, and this is what makes this so exciting and so hard for doctors and researchers and so on. Imagine that we had a way of making cells of almost any tissue type. Then in principle, we could literally use stem cells to make body parts. That's probably the simplest way to say it. That you could literally take a stem cell and by manipulation cause it to multiply or proliferate and to change or differentiate to become the type of cell you want. So you take a stem cell, you make it into muscle, or you make it into bone, or you make it into blood. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
so that's
I do.
The basic
now,
idea of mm-hmm. the stem cell. And so today, there's all the excitement in the media and in the research community and so on about the possibility of regenerative medicine using stem cells. So now we think in a disease sense, because this is where doctors go right away, we think of what we could use this for. Imagine people who suffer from all types of diseases, chronic diseases, degenerative diseases, traumatic diseases, even people with spinal cord injuries and so on. If we could somehow use stem cells to make new tissues, then we could use it as a source of, like, spare parts for the body. I mean, that's an extreme mm-hmm. way to say it. Or mm-hmm. if somebody has a disease because a particular type of cell is not functioning properly. Let's take somebody with, say diabetes, where the islet cells, the pancreatic islet cells in the pancreas are not producing insulin. If we could make new pancreatic islet cells to make more insulin, we could now, in a sense, give a diabetic something that could literally almost rebuild his pancreas. Or somebody with Alzheimer's disease having a degenerative process going on in the brain, we could probably make new nerve cells for the brain and so on, and Parkinson's and Lou Gehrig's Derek's disease and a whole lot of diseases have suddenly become, in a sense, in theory, possible to find a new way of approaching this by thinking of making new cells. Now, this is all medicine. And all that I've said so far is stem cell medicine. Now, mm-hmm. let me tell you what the book I wrote is about. It's about stem cell nutrition. Big
okay,
difference.
What I want to do, though, is just stop here for a minute, Dr. Somersall.
Sure.
Because one of the points that I think is quite significant about your book is that not only do you have the information that you've just shared, but you've broken your book down into four parts. You have a very good section on supplementation, which we're going to talk about, but you go into what you've described are the basic properties of stem cells, the normal activity of stem cells, then the value, you have another chapter on that, and then getting to the leading edge of nutrition. And you talk about some aspects of nutrition, which I'm looking forward to chatting with you. I don't think that most people are aware that typically bone marrow is the supplier or has been the supplier of T cells. And the body is so phenomenal with this, just as you've described, the manipulation of that T cell so that it can enhance a person's wellness, even when it comes to neurological conditions. I think of, you know, just the guy that played Christopher Reeve, who before he died was just beginning to walk. I don't know if he was involved in anything along those lines, but this was cutting edge even at the time that he was dealing with severe trauma that he had had from a fall off of a horse. The body has this phenomenal capacity for regeneration. And you're
exactly right. And it's the key for
medicine.
Key.
It's phenomenal.
Of course. And we're not talking about T cells as in immune cells, but as of stem cells. So T cells, we usually refer specifically to a class of immune cells. But stem cells themselves do have this amazing capacity. And here's the key. Stem cells are not something that scientists are inventing. It is not something that we are, in a sense, learning to get to do new things. We are simply discovering what stem cells are already doing. Stem cells are not a new discovery. In fact, I have a mantra. Here's the mantra in simple words. Everybody has stem cells. Everybody uses stem cells. Everybody uses stem cells every single day, and the stem cells work, and they work every time. And the implication of that is that stem cells, in a sense, have not been waiting for science to come along. Every single day, in every human body, the bone marrow is literally producing stem cells, sending them out into the circulation. They literally travel throughout the body in search of tissues in need. When tissues are needy, they give off some specific chemicals which attract those stem cells. The stem cells migrate into the tissues. Then they multiply or proliferate, and then they differentiate to become cells of that tissue type. This is the normal body's renewal system. It's a normal physiological process. And this we have only come to appreciate in the past 10, 15 years, that the normal body produces stem cells for its own normal maintenance and repair on a regular, ongoing basis. Everybody has stem cells. Everybody uses stem cells. We use them every day. They work, and they work every time.
You have, as a very significant part of your book, the importance of nutrition, and you go into a great deal of detail as to how certain aspects of nutrition work with the human body. And one of them is green nutrition. That's how I'll describe it, because that's typically how it's seen.
Yeah.
And that has to do with algae. And there's cultures in the world that have used algae extensively. It has not been something that necessarily in the Western world has been adopted, but in the Asian cultures, even in the African culture, I learned
that's
from
right.
reading
that's
your
right.
material, that this was something that was harvested and that was brought in. Let's talk a little bit about the history of algae relative to what you have in the book, so that we can let our listeners know how significant this has been in the nutritional balance of the typical diets of the Asians and even the Africans.
Well, of course. And when you think of it, God has provided in nature all these plants and vegetables and so on as sources of food. And we have learned as a species, as human beings, over thousands of years, you know, how to capitalize on what is provided for us in this way by nature. And we have learned the hard way by trial and error. So we've ate certain things, and if they seem to have good effect, we continue to eat them. And if they had a deleterious or poisonous effect, we avoided them. And so over the process of time, we have isolated particular plants as foods. And of course, these have become the staples in the diet universe, kept the race going. And there are some things we've learned to avoid. But what has happened is over time, we have tended to allow our choice of foods to be dictated not so much by their value or their intrinsic value, but rather by the appeal to our sense buds, how they taste, how they look, how they can be manipulated, how they can be stored and packaged and processed and flavored and sweetened and so on. So we've gone away from this sort of natural approach to using ordinary organics. However, in the past, in the past 50 years at least, we have seen a complete shift whereby even in the Western world, I mean, it's been going on for thousands, probably a couple thousand years in the Far East and in other parts of the world, but here even in North America and in Europe, we have now begun in the past 50 years or so to go back, in a sense, to nature. And so that gave rise to the whole organic food and natural food revolution. And today, millions and millions of people now realize that they can go back and look for simple things like herbs, friends, you know, using peppermint to aid their digestion, using ginger to aid their digestion, using valerian to help them to sleep and so on. So natural products, which we now know have physiological benefit. And amongst these, of course, have been algae and seaweed. Algae and seaweed, of course, for several hundreds of years have been well used in the Far East, and as you say, also in Chad and other parts of Africa. But in North America, again, we have discovered, by coincidence. In fact, the one particular algae that I stress in the book is one found in the Northeast United States. It's got a long name, but for simplicity, we'll call it AFA. Afanizominan plus aquae, but nobody's getting an exam, so let's stick to AFA. It's a simple algae that appears in a particular district in the Northwest, which actually happens to have the right ecology and environment to favor its growth, the rainfall, the sunshine, the earth and organics that have settled as a result of volcano and so on. But all that I go through in the book. But the bottom line is that AFA grows quite profusely in the Northwest in a particular area. And if you isolate it in the best and purest of forms, it contains ingredients that we now know affect the release and utilization of stem cells in the human body. We have discovered in particular, in this algae, particular natural ingredients that block the adhesive that holds the stem cells in the bone marrow. So you might wonder, how come the bone marrow doesn't just kick out all its stem cells? It doesn't. It releases them in a programmed fashion and on demand from other chemicals stimulated in the body. There's a thing called GCSF, which they can use to stimulate stem cells. But the key is the adhesive that holds the stem cells in the bone marrow, in particular a thing called L-selectin, can be blocked by ingredients in this particular AFA algae. So when you consume it, we now understand, after the fact, that what it is doing is blocking the L-selectin and enhancing release of AFA from the bone marrow. So more stem cells go out into the body. More stem cells in the circulation mean more stem cells available to go to the aid of tissues, to proliferate or multiply and differentiate, to literally restore and enhance and revitalize tissues. And so that's where the nutritional intervention comes, not from a drug, but from a naturally occurring organic source that is safe and convenient. And when we ingest it, it goes right to the source, right where the stem cells are, literally held in the bone marrow, facilitate their release, and enhance the availability and use of stem cells to renew the body. And as a result, literally, we benefit from all the benefits of wellness and health.
Now, I really have a very strong association with what you've just discussed when you're talking about the algae in the Northwest, because that's where I am.
Oh, there
and
you go.
Yes, and the Pacific Northwest. And we had family, they've since moved, but we had family down in Oregon that were near the Klamath Falls area.
How about
and
that?
They were
what's
telling us about this biomass, that's what the word you use in your book, but
yes.
The algae growth that every year they had to go through. And they said, oh, it was just absolutely awful. The smell was awful. And in your book, you say the decomposition of the algae.
That's right.
Undesirable conditions because such as the depletion of dissolved oxygen and strong unpleasant odors. But the harvesting of the algae before it decomposes is ecologically very positive to do, and
that's
apparently
right.
There are those harvesters that are doing that, and the environment, like you said, is phenomenal.
Oh, it literally helps to save the environment. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like a double benefit, like a win-win situation, because the product or the yield that you get is so healthful in its benefit, and what you leave behind is so much more ecological and safe and balanced for the environment. It's wonderful.
Oh, it really is. Now, the AFA, this one of many different types of algae.
I would say many, but a few. One of a few, yes. Another good one comes from a seaweed called Undaria pinnatifida. But don't worry about the long names. That contains a particular thing called fucoidin. And fucoidin, again, has been shown to be a blocker of L-selectin, and therefore that also enhances release. Now, you'd find Undaria pinnatifida probably in its best sources on the other side of the world, down under, in New Zealand and Australia. That's where it's usually supplied from. But that particular seaweed, again, having this rich ingredient, which is an proven L-selectin blocker, can facilitate, again, release of stem cells into the blood and all the benefits that follow from it.
You say the golden scum. Your title is From Pond Scum to Pure Gold.
That's exactly right, because when you look at it, you think of this as looks like nothing but scum. But once you discover what it is, it's gold, because it has the capacity to enhance the body's own natural renewal system. I mean, what could be more important than that from a health point of view?
That's absolutely true. Now, for people that are listening to the show, they're going to say, well, where could I find AFA? Is it in the health?
Let them go to my website. Stemcellnutrition.com is probably the best place to go. There you'll get all the information you need. Stemcellnutrition.com.
Now, toxicity. This is something I brought up with a gentleman I interviewed last year who's very much involved in the harvesting of algae. And I said, we have so much contamination in the ocean. Is the algae that you harvest, or the kelp, whatever it is that he uses, I don't recall at the moment, can that be toxic? And because of all of these components we're dealing with in the environment, and he said, no. There's no toxicity here. Tell us how this, number one, nobody's had any negative side effects from this. Nobody's going to be overdosing on this by
That's
taking
right.
a gallon of this a day.
So no, of course not. But let's talk in terms of how it is harvested, because the key is in the method. And the method essentially exploits a property of AFA. AFA tends to adhere to thin filament. So imagine a piece of wire, for example. If you just took a piece of wire and you put it in the water and raise it out the water, the AFA tends to cling or adhere to the filament. And that's the basic principle that has been exploited in a patented technology that allows them to harvest the AFA almost exclusively. And so the ships, the boats that go along essentially have rotating wires. And as it goes, the wires literally rotate through the near the surface of the water. The AFA particularly adheres to the wire. It then follows through at the normal rotation. It is then removed and dried and so on. But the critical thing is that in that process, AFA is selectively harvested. That's the key word. It is selectively harvested amongst all the other ingredients or even contaminants that might be available at any particular time on the lake. So what they do is they choose their time for harvesting. They literally go out and do a sample and then analyze it to make sure that it's principally AFA. And then the boats go and they can regulate things like the rate of rotation of the wires and the spacing of the wires and the length of time that the AFA stays on the wire and the drying time and the temperatures and all that stuff to make sure that in the end the product is safe. That's the critical thing. And it is not only known to be safe, it is proven to be safe. That is to say they do the necessary tests on a regular basis. There are several assays that are done on all this AFA that is harvested to guarantee that it meets all the health requirement standards, and it literally passes and is now categorized as what is called generally recognized as safe, GRAS. It has that notation. And so the contamination and toxicity is really not an issue once you understand that all the questions have been addressed and overcome in that regard. It's basically technology at its best and good quality assurance, good quality control. That's the critical thing.
Absolutely true. Now, your book, The Amazing Power of Stem Cell Nutrition, you cover, half of your book is related to nutrition. You go into the various descriptions of algae. You also have a list in your book about the algaes that are healthy, because there are some algaes. You know, some people listening may think, gee, I guess I could just go out anywhere if I see algae, consume it.
No. That's like going to eat every weed or every herb you see that's available to you. No. Certain algae are known to be specifically edible, and they satisfy all the criteria that have been well established and well proven and have a good track record over many years and so on. And then there's certain things that you want to avoid. Same thing is true, for example, of mushrooms. You know, you couldn't eat any and every mushroom. A mushroom is a good thing, but you can't just go to just take a mushroom and eat it, because you might be eating some wild mushroom that might have a very toxic chemical in it. But once certain mushrooms are well known and they'll be well proven, well established, and analyzed and so on over time, of course mushrooms are very safe. But that's a general statement, not a universal statement. Same thing is true of algae. There's some algae, including AFA, that are very well known to be safe and healthful. And then there are other algae which, for some reason, are best avoided.
Now, I know, Doctor, we're going to be coming up to a break. Would you be able to stay with me for another 15 minutes?
Sure, I'd love to.
Oh, that would be delightful. This is Donna Sebo, and for those of you listening, this book, The Amazing Power of Stem Cell Nutrition, is more than just a book about stem cells. It is very important relative to certain nutritional components that you may or may not have heard of. Certain patternings, we'll be coming back, we'll be talking about that, and we'll also be talking about the different types of algae. But this book is something you may want to get because of the medical research information, the pioneers that have been getting recognition about stepping outside of the typical paradigm of medical attitude. And this is really significant. And just like Dr. Alan Summersole has been expressing, this isn't anything new. We're finally looking at how we can work more compatibly with the human body so that it can enjoy better wellness. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the aspect of prevention and some other points of information that he has featured in this very powerful book. So this is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for just a moment, and when we come back, we're going to have more good information to share with you, so don't go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hello, welcome back. This is Donna Sebo, and I wanted to, in this next 15 minutes, I really wanted to go more into stem cell nutrition and medicine with Dr. Summersall. Dr. Summersall, this book is so comprehensive, and yet you wrote it for the layperson, which I think is fabulous. I'd like to cover a tiny section that you have in here because I like what you have done. You have not said that Western medicine is bad. That's not it. You're saying we really need to understand the value of diagnostic medicine and holistic nutrition. And with many interviews that I have done with doctors, people that have gone, and other people that have gone through various physical conditions where they couldn't communicate with their doctors, they got tired of all the drugs, they said, these are not working, I just get more and more ill. You have broken down the value of a good medical process. You go through, you've got to find out about a person's illness. You have to take time with them. You have to find out what the history is, how long they've had certain conditions or effects. You talk about the physical examination and the deferential diagnosis. And then you say, medicine is practiced by the pursuit of definitive diagnosis and the subsequent treatment of the same. But you follow it up with how important nutrition is. Now, you're a physician.
That's
you
right.
deal with people on a regular basis. This is something that some people will look at you with great big eyes and go, huh? But you find doctors are of the same disposition. Tell us what it's like being in your medical arena and trying to educate those in your profession. Are they becoming more open to this?
Oh, clearly. This is a tidal wave that you can't stop because, for one thing, patients are on the wave and the patients are moving, so you can't change that. In fact, today, every doctor knows the frustration of trying to treat a patient or to manage a patient, and the patient is going off, going on the internet and so on, and getting other information and doing other things and complementing the doctor's own management procedures and so on. This is in fact, it can become a problem if there's not good communication between doctor and patient. Vitally important. But the fact that the process is already ongoing is beyond dispute. What doctors today are understanding is that now they have to take a little more time because they have to find out exactly where the patient is coming from, what their mindset is, what practices they're engaging in, and how other things are impacting their health and their prognosis. And so it's an ongoing process. Doctors are being educated sometimes by the patient simply because the patient is saying, look, let me tell you what I learned, and let me tell you what happened, and let me tell you what I've done, and so on. So doctors are, in a sense, becoming a little more open. Another reason why we are becoming much more open is that doctors have today tremendous drugs and surgical procedures and interventions and diagnostic tests and so on. And despite all of that high-tech medicine, patients are still suffering on an ongoing basis. And so the question is, what's missing? And quite often what's missing is the patient taking responsibility and doing the right things. And from that point of view, it's not so much what happens in the doctor's office, it's what happens between one visit to the doctor and the next visit to the doctor. And that's where the doctor has to become much more, in a sense, cooperative with the patient in terms of knowing all that's going on and getting a more holistic approach. And this is a general phenomenon. I think all medical schools today are teaching their students as who are becoming new doctors that this is something that has to be addressed. You have to think of the person as a whole person. They're not just a kidney with kidney disease. They're not just a brain with Alzheimer's. They're human beings. They have many, many different facets, and everything you do is going to impact their whole person. And so that approach is now very much involved. The other emphasis is on prevention. Rather than waiting until patients have their problems and, as I usually put it, they fall off the cliff and come down below into the emergency and into critical care to be patched up, to be thrown back up on the cliff, we've got to be thinking always as doctors of being on the top of the cliff as well to put up guardrails to prevent people from tumbling over the edge. And that involves a lot of different types of things and things we don't do, like smoking and bad sexual habits and environmental exposure and so on, and stress and all that stuff. But it also involves positive habits, of which the most important three probably are good nutrition, adequate exercise, and good sleep. I mean, those three things, you know, food, exercise, and sleep will go a long way to preventing a lot of the things that we see on a daily basis coming into the office.
That is true. There is a portion of your book that I found absolutely fascinating, and that is how various physical conditions by the utilization of nutrition, the stem cells in the body, which are already there, will help to do a healing process. And one of the biggest issues that is out there is heart disease. I mean, we are pummeled with so much information on this, how those cholesterol stuff and all kinds of things, and it's really, it can be very frightening. And when someone goes through a trauma like a major heart situation, it can just be devastating because it makes you realize that you're mortal, first of all. And secondly, you're going to have to pay more attention to this classy chassis called the human body. But
of
you
course.
Talk about how the T cells, the stem cells, let me correct myself, the stem cells can really improve function and, in your words, ameliorate the prognosis for those surviving victims who have to really pay attention to cardiac rehabilitation.
This is true. This is true not only in cardiac, but also in almost any condition you could choose, that most of the time we have an acute situation, whatever the acute situation is. We then, after for acute management, we then go into this recuperative stage where we are now seeing the body literally restore itself. I mean, that's what's happening in hospitals on a daily basis and even in many homes where there's chronic illness. The body suffers, and then it literally goes into a recuperative mode where we literally, as even as physicians, we stand and watch. You know, I mean, when a doctor does rounds in the morning, I saw the patient yesterday, I come to see the patient today, and we look to see what has happened in the past 24 hours in terms of how the body is coping with all that is going through. And we're now seeing, for example, we ask the patient, did you sleep well? How is your appetite? We look at their skin, what's their temperature, how they're feeling. I mean, this is the body's normal recuperative condition. But as key to that recuperative process, the body is sending stem cells to all the various tissues that are affected, and on a daily basis, those stem cells are proliferating, multiplying, differentiating to become new tissue cell types, and as such are helping to restore the body in its recuperation. We are rebuilding, restoring, renewing, replenishing, refurbishing, however you want to say it. We are literally restoring the body to health, and that's critical. And it puts the stem cells, in a sense, at the very center of health and any kind of wellness, any kind of even disease recuperation, even in the management of chronic disease. It puts stem cells at the center because they provide, in a sense, the new troops on the front lines that will literally help the body to fight off disease. It's providing new troops, new cells that do the trick. See, in the old days, and I said the old days, I guess up until now, we've always thought of nutrition as feeding cells, feed the cells, feed the cells, feed the cells. But no matter how we feed the cells eventually die. They've got to be replaced. And this is where the stem cells come in, because we have now a supply of new, fresh, you know, vigorous marines arriving on a constant daily basis to become new fighters, if you like, defending the body and providing for the body and protecting the body and building the body on a regular basis.
With this, the nutrition enables the body to keep those stem cells healthy and growing. so that they can be out there doing their job for us as people.
And as such, it enhances their release. That's the key. The key is to get the stem cells released from the bone marrow so we increase the number of circulating stem cells. I mean, a lot of research has been done, and we now know it's a very fair statement to conclude that the level of circulating stem cells in the human body is a very good measure of the quality of life, the quality of health, and the prognosis of each individual. The level of circulating stem cells, things that increase those stem cells in circulation, increase the availability of stem cells to do their renewal task and therefore make, in a sense, wellness optimal. So anything that enhances the release of those stem cells, such as the supplements we talked about in terms of AFA and fucoidin and specific nutrients that we can use to enhance that, that's critical because it affects the level of circulating stem cells in the human body and the ability to circulate and migrate and to penetrate into tissues and then to differentiate, proliferate or multiply and differentiate to become new tissue cell types.
I know that in your book you said if with people that have cardiac challenges that it's the real big improvements with the heart muscle, for example, is when the stem cell intervention is made relatively soon after a heart attack. Is that the same thing with someone that may have a stroke?
Both are true, but both you're now talking about stem cell medicine. Medicine implying that the doctors are now doing, in fact, this is a very hot area of medical research. We are now introducing stem cells by injection into the human body, into the heart directly or into the circulation, and then watching those stem cells go to the injured heart, make new heart cells, and then watching the performance of the heart as a result of that medical intervention. Same thing is true in many neurological diseases. You can use medicine to introduce, inject, or either directly or into the circulation, cells that become new nerve cells. And as those new nerve cells take hold, you can literally look at the performance of the central nervous system in response to those medical interventions. Hot areas of research, very, very hot. But we now know for sure that that happens. And we believe that in a much more mild but also in a significant way, the body is doing those same types of interventions even before medical intervention. In fact, I use sometimes say it this way. Just as we had food before we had medicine, so we can have stem cell nutrition before we even need or have stem cell medicine, if you get the idea. In other words, we can do for ourselves releasing stem cells from our bone marrow long before we need a doctor in an emergency department to be injecting us with stem cells in hope that they'll do something for us.
Again, your material is absolutely wonderful, and I really like the detail and attention to information of other cultures and how we are finally catching up with this and how the progress of the medical environment is speeding up at with just such a phenomenal level on one hand, and yet there's still seemingly the archaic position of attitudes and thoughts in certain environments. But for us as consumers, having people like you who are deeply involved in medicine and who put the patient first, that patient you want to see well, your book, The Amazing Power of Stem Cell Nutrition, is marvelous. And people can go to your website, www.stemcellnutrition.com, and they can find out more about AFA. But I strongly encourage those of you who are listening to realize that being informed empowers you. And as Dr. Alan Somersall mentioned a few minutes ago, that doctors are being challenged because people like you are saying, wait a minute, I've read this information. I need to know, do you understand this? Have you read this? Are you aware of it? Doctors are usually so busy that it's nearly impossible for them to keep up to date with a lot of the innovation and changes that are evolving. The speed is just amazing. And Dr. Alan Somersall has given a wonderful gift to you, the layperson, that you can take to your own doctor and say, I think you ought to read this, and then I'd like to talk to you about it someday. it's going to make a difference. It's making a difference right now because people like Dr. Summersall and others who are really dedicated to their profession, which they love a great deal, they're making that difference by speaking up, putting it into print form so we have access to it, and also letting you know about things that are happening so that you as an individual can take more responsibility for yourself, enjoy wellness, and who knows, you may be able to save someone's life because of the knowledge that you've attained. Dr. Alan Summersall, thank you very much for taking time out of what I know is a very busy schedule. Your book, The Amazing Power of Stem Cell Nutrition, is incredible. I really am so impressed with it. Thank you for being my guest.
Donna, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being on your show. And have your listeners go to stemcellnutrition.com. That'd be a good source of more information for them.
Absolutely. I will do that. This is Donna Sebo, stemcellnutrition.com. Check it out. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. All I need is your first name or initial. And, of course, then after that, let me tell you what I perceive. And then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Who's coming up tomorrow? We're going to be talking about the IRS. Ah, does your blood pressure start to go up when you hear IRS, three letters that really can be very intimidating. The Internal Revenue Service. Well, we're going to be talking with Ken Jones, saved by the IRS. Does that sort of tickle your mental curiosity? Well, he's quite a guy. We're going to be talking with him tomorrow, and then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Larry Edwards. Dare I call it murder? This is a true cold case that we're going to be discussing, happened here in the Pacific Northwest, and then a very, very fine physician we're going to have on Friday, Dr. Bernie Siegel, The Art of Healing. And I'll tell you, it's such a joy having people on that really are committed to making life a better environment for whatever reasons, on whatever level. And I think that that's so significant. We need to know that we are empowered and that we are not victims. Life can smack us upside the head every once in a while, making us feel like we have just sort of lost control of everything. But that's the wonderful aspect about the human character. We're resilient and we can come back. And there's a lot of challenge that goes on in life for the purpose of us really, I think, finding out who we really are. And are we willing to really go that extra mile necessary to achieve whatever our dream might be? Or in some situations, are you willing to do an adaptation on that dream so that maybe you end up going into something even bigger than you ever imagined. So again, it's just a delight for me to bring these people to you. And I wanted to quickly, because I always like stuff like this, I wanted to talk about stone showers. Ah, yes. Now, this took place on the 4th of September. We're going to tiptoe back in time to 1886. It's 2:30 in the morning. And in South Carolina, Charleston, in fact, warm stone, not cold, but warm stone, fell from the sky and showered themselves on sidewalks all around the offices of a newspaper that was called the News and Courier in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, at 7:30 in the morning, warm stones fell again, and they were witnessed by the newspaper's editor. He had started early, and he saw this coming down, and he saw this rock shower repeated again at 1:30 in the afternoon. And guess what he wrote about in his daily column? You've got it, the warm rocks. Now, they seem to be coming from an area of sky directly above the news building, and they seem to be coming through an area of about 75 square feet. And the stones were the size of grapes, getting as large as the size of a small egg. And they looked like they had been polished. And many of them, when they fell, they broke on the pavement. That was one scenario. In Harrisonville, Ohio, in 1901, on a Sunday afternoon, a huge rock crashed through the window of a house outside of the town of Harrisville. There was a family inside. They go rushing outside. Nobody's around. Where did this big rock come from? Well, while they're outside, here are more stones falling out of the sky. The next day, in this community, Harrisonville, more flying stones were experienced. One store, their plate glass window was shattered. People raced outside. They were going to protect their property. They thought they were being attacked. Well, they were. They were being attacked by stones from an unknown origin. It wasn't human energy that was propelling it. There was a one-legged man that said his crutches were knocked out from under him, and they were smashed by a big boulder. A boulder, not a little rock, a boulder that fell out of the sky. The stones kept falling. People tried to figure out, was anybody hurt? Nobody ended up being hurt. But where did those silly stones come from? And why were they warm in the one case? And why was it that boulders were falling in another case? Something to ponder about. Well, maybe not very much time should be spent on that, but curiosities of nature, they are going to always make us question and make us wonder. And that's what life is all about. Life is about exploring the unknown, being willing to step out of paradigm and saying, I wonder. It's always a joy to learn. There are some people that will say, oh, I can't be bothered. I can remember talking with someone, and I said, well, it would be in our conversation. I said, why don't you learn about this? I don't want to do it. Why don't you learn about that? I don't want to do it. Why don't you learn about this, that, the other, what have you? They kept saying, I don't want to learn. I don't want to learn. And I thought, how empty their life is going to be and how fearful they're going to be about life. Because if you're not willing to learn new things, where are you going to end up? How are you going to adapt to the changes that are evolving in your life? If you try to stay stuck, you can't possibly expand into your own greatest potential. This is Donna Sebo. I know that we're out of time. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You are unique and you're wonderful. And I'm so delighted that you're sharing your time with me today. Won't you join me tomorrow? We're going to have some more fascinating information to share with you. And that's part of the joy of listening into the Donna Sebo Show. You just never know what you're going to find out about. Have a magnificent day. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.